Good morning and welcome to Crossroads United Methodist Church in Wanakee, Wisconsin. I welcome you on this second Sunday of Easter. Let's join together in prayer. Gracious God, power of life, we praise you that you have not abandoned us to the death of sin and despair, but that with Christ you have lifted us up from the grave. Grant that we might ourselves know the power of the resurrection, now and in the world to come. For it is in the name of the risen Christ that we pray. Amen. From the scriptures we hear the 27th Psalm and these words of the psalmist. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all of the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above all my enemies all about around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry out, be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Wait for the Lord, be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. And from the New Testament, today we turn to the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew and these words of Jesus. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For me, he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than anyone else? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Let's pray. Gracious God, we give thanks for the words of the psalmist. We give thanks for the words of Jesus, so they might lead us and instruct us and show us by living how we might be even now better disciples of you. Amen. Now, this may have been a phenomenon only for someone who is a baby boomer such as myself, but I distinctly remember when I was in elementary school, such a thing as people being infected with cooties. I don't know if you've ever heard of them. But to my experience in elementary schools, it seemed as though the girls were the most likely ones to be infected by cooties. Though I have to admit, on the playground, I do remember some girls talking, saying they wouldn't get near a boy because they had cooties themselves. Now, as it turns out, it seems like the most popular girls and the most popular boys didn't seem to be infected at all. At least they didn't really act as though they were. Every generation has a group of people of whom they're called to be fearful. When we live with an underlying fear for certain people or a certain group of people, too often our response to those people are responses for which we regret a lot. We say things, we do things, and they're often the wrong things. And all too often, we feel good about what we said or did. That's, for example, why we pronounce cities like Berlin, Wisconsin, or New Berlin, Wisconsin, rather than, say, for example, Berlin, Germany. Because of the fear around about 100 years ago, at the onset of World War I, of German Americans in our country, and the fear that they may have infected our country and are disclosing secrets to people, to the Germans across the ocean. One of our own Methodist bishops, Bishop Oxnam, was brought before the House Un-American Activities Committee in 1953, and he was accused of being a communist. Back in the 1950s, communism, or being a communist, was one of those scare words that were inflicted on people to put them afraid or put them at distance from everybody else. Now, Adam Hamilton, whose book Unafraid, we're using this Easter season as a kind of an outline for our theme of being unafraid. He wrote about a conversation he had with another pastor of a colleague of his in the Kansas City area. Both of them served churches in the Kansas City area, a Reverend Emmanuel Cleaver III. Emmanuel Cleaver III is a pastor of St. James United Methodist Church, and St. James is on the eastern side of what's called Troost Avenue in Kansas City. Troost Avenue is a major north-south thoroughfare, and it seems to be the dividing line between the predominantly white area of Kansas City on the west and the predominantly black or African-American community on the east side of Kansas City. Reverend Cleaver talked to Adam, and they had many conversations, and then eventually their churches did activities together. But he told Pastor Hamilton how, as an African-American, the west side of Troost Avenue is the place where, for example, a young black man might be arrested or pulled over or beaten or even worse, sometimes shot. Now, it's not just Kansas City. Every large, even medium-sized community has its own Troost Avenue. For example, in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee, I would say probably it would be the Menominee Valley, dividing northern Milwaukee from the southern side of the town. The question, though, is who do we fear today? Fear of people who are different than us, who have different backgrounds, different experiences from us, still persists even today. Different races, different national backgrounds, immigrants, members of the LGBTQ community, those of a different political party or philosophy. And today, amidst all of those words and those scare words that are put in front of us, we hear from the scripture these words: "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" We know, at least intellectually, that there is nothing that can separate us from God's love. And on this Sunday, after Easter Sunday, we realize that God is not going to let even death itself separate us from Him. Jesus teaches that we're to love our enemies, that we're to pray for them. And when you do that, when you really take your enemy seriously, and when you try to understand them and to experience where life is from them, you begin to realize that love is not a feeling, but love is a decision. It's even sometimes action. Now, Jesus calls us to love people, people different than us. And he calls us as well to bless them. And to do that, we need to seek to understand them and to know them And even more than that, to have some kind of connection or relationship with them. And when we do that, we discover that it's awfully hard to be afraid of them. When a black man joined a men's study group in a church that I served, everybody's attitude in that group changed. Their attitudes, even the way words they offered to each other, changed. When we shared, for example, from the heart, our own experiences, our own perspectives on life, when we shared our own faith with each other, when we heard, for example, that new person coming, that African-American man coming to our men's group, talk for the first time about the trepidation he felt every time that when he came to suburban Milwaukee, we began to understand who he was from just a little bit different angle. When he talked about his own experiences in the criminal justice system, when he talked about his own personal faith in Christ, we gained a whole new perspective of who this man was, what his experience was, and how, in many ways, we have things in common. At the same time, we're very different from each other. We shared our lives. And the great thing about it was that all of our lives changed as a result of that. And you know, when you have the faith to trust in God, all of those code words, all of those terms that are used to create fear, sometimes even by our national leaders, all of that begins to melt away. Love melts them away. A connection or a relationship with somebody else begins to melt them away. And no longer can they be used simply to cause fear or to intimidate or to divide people from each other. The New Testament tells us that there is no fear in love, for perfect love casts out fear. People who may be different from each other are now neighbors, and we are called to understand each other and to understand where everybody comes from in their own lives. It is, after all, what God's done for us. God's love for us, as we've seen it, as we've heard about it, as we've been witness to it on Christ's death on the cross at Calvary. Even while we were still enemies, even while we might have been strangers to God, God loved us even then and tries even now to bring us into the fold. Dear friends in Christ, you and I are freed to live in God's love. We are freed to examine our world, our thinking, our very lives. No longer do we have to live in fear of others. We can live unafraid. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's join together in prayer. O God, our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, in this challenging and uncertain time of pandemic and public health crisis, we come before you, offering our prayers on behalf of those in need, on behalf of the church and the world. For the church, that it may not grow weary of proclaiming the good news of Christ and serve as a beacon of hope to a suffering world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For all afflicted with coronavirus around the world, for the leaders of the nations, that they may work together for the common good as the outbreak spreads. May barriers that divide be brought down, that bonds of trust may be strengthened to benefit your whole human family. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heal those who are sick with the virus. May they have access to medical care. May they regain their strength and health. Grant them your healing grace. Give strength to all who are caring for loved ones. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For healthcare workers with hearts of service, standing on the front lines providing care. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We ask that you bless researchers around the world as they combat the virus, that their work may yield knowledge to develop vaccines and treatments and improve measures to reduce its spread. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Remove the presence of fear and anxiety from our hearts, that confident in your providence, we may be generous in sharing our resources. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For those who have already lost loved ones to the virus, for those who will yet suffer such loss, that they may know the consolation of your love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Keep us, good Lord, under the shadow of your mercy. Sustain and support the anxious. Be with those who are sick. Lift up all who are brought low, that we may find comfort, knowing that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. This is Scott Walters from the Crossroads United Methodist Church, inviting you to join us next Sunday as we share the good news of Christ. May God's blessing be with you today and always. Amen.